I'm going to begin what I call a loose-knit series because it may be interrupted with other things, but I want to, for a season, I'm not certain how long, but I'm going to bring a series of messages. Sounds very simple, but we're going to go from simple to greater depths in each one of these. How to know and walk with God. How to know and walk with God. And so today I'm just going to give an introduction to open the door and begin to lead us down this journey. And we're going to look at things in the Word of God that will take us into a practical help, a practical walk with the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, we'll read in just a moment, we find some advice that is given by Solomon, and it is going to be sort of a springboard for us this morning. But before we read it, let me say to you this morning that in our walk with the Lord, we are designed, God has created us to go from becoming a disciple in the basic things of the Word of God and in our walk with the Lord, but we're not intended to stay there. We're to go to maturity. From discipleship to maturity, we're not given a formula in the Word of God. As I was pondering on this and I was thinking, there was no one scripture that I could go to that would outline for us, here is how you walk with God. Here is how you walk with God, and here is how you grow deeper in the Lord. Or as many people would want things to be today, here's how to be successful in knowing God, or how to gain success in walking with the Lord. What we find is that in the Word of God, there are two aspects of revelation that pertain to what I'm talking about this morning. The first is what I call truths revealed. Truths revealed. All through the Word of God, strung all through the Word of God, there are areas of truth. There are basic things as well as much deeper things that have to do with our walk with God. There are principles. There are facts. There are admonishments. There are commands from the Lord. There are things that have to do with our walk with the Lord, how to walk with the Lord, but it's pieces and it's not in any order. It's not like do this, then do this, then do this, and you can walk with God. We find it in snippets of truth all the way through the Word of God. Secondly, not just truths that are revealed, but examples that are gleaned. Examples that are gleaned, and we will be looking at those as well. And again, it's different in the life of each one, but all the way through the Word of God, we find men and women of God who had a walk with God. Some had a great, mighty walk with God. Some failed repeatedly in their walk with God, and yet they still had a walk with God. Compare Samson with Elijah. And so we find that in each one of these lives, there is an example for us that's revealed that fleshes out those truths that are revealed in the Word of God. Now in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to read beginning with verse 18 down through 23. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. I'm going to just sort of comment on these things as I go through it, and I want you to listen closely. The path of the just. Who are the just? The just are those who are right with God. Just simply means in right standing or righteous standing. Those who are right with God. The path indicates progress. There is a progress in our walk with God. A path goes from one place to the other, and you go along that path, right? His word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, and we travel along that path. Walking with God is a path that we travel. And it says that the path of the just is like the shining sun. This imagery indicates to us that it's not an ordinary life. It's not a natural life. It's a supernatural life. Our walk with God, as it deepens, we are intended to blaze like the sun. What does that mean? Well, the sun comes up in the morning. It passes through the sky. It does not go unnoticed. It gives light and it gives warmth. Our lives are to be like that. They are to be so radiant for the Lord that we are giving something forth as we pass through that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So see, there's progress. There's a transition. It grows brighter and brighter until the perfect day. What is the perfect day? The day when we are made perfect before the Lord. Again, progress. The way of the wicked is like darkness. Who are the wicked? Not just Hitler's. The wicked are those who are disobedient, simply disobedient to following God, disobedient to the Word of God. And so the way of the wicked is like darkness, and I thought this was such an incredible statement packed in this one little verse. They do not know what makes them stumble. How many times have we counseled people, have we met with people, and to the believer who is walking with God, their problems are so clear and so obvious. You can listen to this person or that person, and you know right away, well, you're not walking in the way of the Lord. You're not walking in the path that God has ordained. You're not following the principles of truth in His Word, and therefore you're stumbling all over the place. But they can't see why they've been stumbling all of this time until it's revealed to them. My son, give attention to my words. Now, this is poetic. This is wisdom speaking. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The Word of God is filled with wisdom and understanding. It gives wisdom and understanding. It is to be pursued. It is to be guarded. It is to be treasured. It is to be kept. It is to be in the center of our heart if we're going to walk this walk. For they are life to those who find them. Life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means that if we're going to walk this path, there has to be a diligence. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I have to keep my body under discipline, lest I become disqualified when I preach. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Straight ahead. We're talking about a path. Straight ahead, not veering to the right or the left if we're going to progress. Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet. In another place he says, consider your ways. Ponder the path of your feet. Consider. Take time to consider. Why am I going the way I'm going? Am I going the way that I should be going? What kind of progress am I making? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Let all your ways be established. Your ways are going to be established through the truths that we find, that we feed upon, the revealed truths in the Word of God, the principles and the things that God gives us in His Word, they become the foundation for a walk with God. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And we have one other scripture we'll come to in a moment, but this is an invitation today to walk with God. And there will, as I said, there will be deeper truths and there will be practical things as we go along from week to week. But the Bible gives us this understanding, this theme, many themes, but this theme of understanding and wisdom all the way through, found by being established in the Word of God, by being established in the Word of God. It's sad to me that there is so often when you talk to people, there is this viewpoint of the Bible that people have, that it's just a book of religious stories and rules and laws. You talk to the average person on the street, if they know anything about the Bible, to them it's religious stories that some people learn in childhood, and it's full of rules and laws, especially the do-nots. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. It is restrictive to a person's life, and so to them it's not life. This scripture says that wisdom and understanding bring life. bring life, and it's like the sun blazing. Our life is to be like the sun blazing. The Bible says that wisdom and understanding are found by being established in the Word of God. And as I was saying, people see it as a book of religious rules and as laws rather than this supernatural fountain that it is. It is a supernatural fountain of truths and principles, doctrines. I'm going to use that word doctrine. We'll come back to it in a few moments. Doctrine has a bad connotation today in most of the church world. But we're going to see the beauty of doctrine and how doctrine is part of that foundation through which we can live a spirit-filled life. The beauty of doctrine and the glorious revelation that the Lord gives us in the Word of God. Amen. Now, it's clear that there's a progression. And so we are first of all born again, right? And the Bible calls us babes in Christ after we're born again. We're born again and that is our initial entrance into the kingdom of God. It involves a change of position. Now I'm talking about, for a moment here, these are basic things. And I know that those of you who are in this room, you know these things. But it never hurts for us to be reestablished and to not forget the truths that the Lord gives us. And how can we build if we don't remember the basics of the Word of God? So Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It involves coming to the Lord in simple, childlike faith. You come and you, as the Word says, receive Christ. We'll see what that involves in just a moment. But you receive Christ. But I'm going to make a point here as I'm going through this. You begin with that simple, basic, babe in Christ, childlike faith. But even in your initial salvation, you're going to see in a moment that as you grow, as you become deeper and deeper in your walk with the Lord and you progress in your walk with the Lord, that truth, that simple, basic truth, it's not that you leave it. It grows deeper. Every simple truth in the Word of God that you understand, first of all, as a baby in Christ, is filled with layers of richness, of depth, and you come back time and time again and find that the more you walk with the Lord, the more you know Him, the deeper these truths become. So it's not just this simple little thing that you're born again, though it is simple to become born again. You know what I mean? It's simple to come and cry out, God save me, because basically that's what's necessary. Now we break it down into you have to hear the word, believe the word, and I'll cover that in just a moment because those are basics. But basically it is a change of heart. It is coming and crying out, submitting yourself, being willing to know that you need help, crying out to God to save you. But what happens in that moment of salvation when you are born again, in God's eyes, spiritually, there is a change of position. You go from one place to another place. The Bible says you're taken out of the kingdom of darkness. It's a truth. You're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you're placed into the kingdom of light. The Bible says, now listen for a moment, that if we are born again, we are seated with Him in heavenly places. My mind can't fully fathom that. But I'm in a new position. When I come to the Lord and I'm born again, I'm in a new position. I may not feel like I'm in a new position all the time. Am I right? I may not fully experience the depth. The point that I want to make right here is something deep and profound. A door has opened. Your position has changed and the Lord sees you transformed. He sees His design for you. He sees you now saved, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that you are a new creation in Him. Meanwhile, on this earth, we're walking it out and we're a babe in Christ and we don't understand. We may be born again and we don't even know yet we're seated in heavenly places. Right? And so there are simple, basic truths, and then there are wrapped around and in that, those basic things, there are ever deeper things. So you have a change of position that places you in the very presence of God. Let me take that a step further. When you are first born again, because I believe this will help illustrate something. When you are first born again and that position changes, in reality, spiritually, though you may grow in the years ahead and have deep experiences with the Lord, in reality, the moment you're born again, you are so close to God, you will never ever be any closer to Him than you are right there. Just like the truth that teaches us that God could never love you any more than He does right now. You cannot do anything. You can't grow and you can't become somebody that God's going to love more because He already loves you with an infinite love.
Amen.
So your position changes and you're not always feeling it, understanding it, or experiencing it here on the earth, but you're seated with Christ in heavenly places and you're already nearer to Him than you'll ever be, but you have to grow to learn to experience that nearness and to walk in it. To have a path with God. And so we progress in experiencing the reality of the deep things of God. Turn with me to Psalm 131. Psalm 131 talks about a babe that has become weaned. Sounds kind of strange to be in the place in the Word of God. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things that are too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I want you to hear these words. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Those words again in verse 2, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. When you first come to the Lord, you're born again. Your emotions may still be crazy. You may still be nuts, you know, and you may walk with the Lord for years and find that you're still crazy and you're still nuts. But the Lord's design and His plan is maturity. He says to those who believed, He gave power to become sons of God.
Amen.
Now that is a word that describes a depth, a deeper maturity in walk with the Lord. For the Jews to be called a son was something that happened at the age of maturity. It was recognized with a ceremony. You went from being a child to being a son, and you didn't have the rights and privileges of a child in a household until you literally became the son at a certain age. It's an amazing ceremony and tradition within Jewish history and within their customs and their culture. We find here in the Word of God, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. I think another translation says, upon his mother's knee. And so I want you to picture this child. First of all, this child is a baby and it kicks and it screams. And every time it wants something, it has to be fed milk. In other words, someone has to take, and we're talking of spiritual things here. We're babes in Christ at first. Someone has to take the Word of God, ingest it, teachers, pastors, writers that walk with God. They take the Word, they study it, they ingest it. And then what they give out is milk to babes in Christ. Some people spend their entire walk with the Lord coming to church every Sunday to get the milk that someone else is bringing forth because they have already ingested the Word of God and God has brought forth something for the people. But there comes a time when God wants you to be weaned. It doesn't mean that you don't receive from others anymore, but you're able now to receive meat, solid food. You don't have to receive just milk. And you're able not only to receive meat from other people, you're able to grow and go into the Word of God and to discern meat for yourself, deeper things, deeper truths as you walk with the Lord, so that your experience becomes a calm child, Not crazy and bonkers in your walk with the Lord. Not emotional, just nonsense, you know, on the mountain with God one day and in the valley the next. No, you become stable in your walk with God, and you become, notice the child is still on its mother's knee, or it's still close. And now it's calmed and quieted. And when you're calmed and quieted, you're not struck with terror every time something happens. You know, the Bible says, do not be filled with terror when, or don't be afraid when sudden terror comes, is what it says. But how many of you and I, when something comes, we just immediately have a terror. There's panic. But that's not a calmed and quieted soul. Calmed and quieted soul has learned how to rest in the Lord, in the deeper truths of the Lord. And God's teaching you things even when terror comes. He's teaching you things in it. Ooh, I've got to speed up a little bit here. So in this progression we find in the Word of God, it's in every doctrine. It's in everything that we find in the Word of God. There's a version for the baby. And then there's a version that grow a deeper and deeper versions as we go deeper with the Lord. Again, salvation, we are born again. It's a new birth. And I'm preaching to those that I believe are born again and saved. If you're not and you're listening today, the Lord says, come and receive Him. Simple truth. We wrap it all up in this simple truth that Jesus spoke in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all you need is that simple faith in this particular truth in order to be born again, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. But from that point on, this truth becomes an ocean. I'm still illustrating something here with this one truth of salvation. So you're born again, excuse me, and almost immediately you find out that that truth of salvation involves, you've heard the word and you had to believe the word. Belief comes in. You begin to understand that what has happened to you is that you believe the word of God. And in believing, you had to what? You had to repent. When you come and you're born again, it's because you've turned. You've recognized that there's sin, that it's wrong, that you're guilty, and salvation is available, but you must turn. You repent. There is an inward sorrow and turning from that sin, and you express that to the Lord. You learn that that belief has to do with exercising faith in the work of Christ on the cross. This is going to be important in a moment. The work of Christ on the cross. You didn't just get saved. You may not have understood anything in the moment, but you didn't just say, okay, I believe in something. No, you believe that Jesus died for you. It all centers around that cross. And so it's faith in the work of Christ, and receiving all of this, believing is receiving Him into your life, asking Him to come into your life to be Lord of your life. And so that is still basics that begin to open up as you understand what salvation is. But as we grow in the Word of God and as we grow in our understanding, we find how much deeper is this salvation than we knew. We begin to look at the cross and we study the cross and we find out, first of all, this one who died for us when we were born again, we didn't even understand a fraction of who He is.
That's right.
We begin to understand that He is the eternal God from eternity past.
Yeah.
Wrapped in human flesh that He comes. We begin to understand why He had to come. Why He had to come wrapped in flesh. As we study the Word, we begin to discover these deep things. Why He had to be sacrificed. Why couldn't He have just come and say, believe in Me and you'll be saved? Why did He have to come? Why is He called the Lamb of Sacrifice? And entire mountains of truth are wrapped around that in the Word of God. But it all comes to Calvary, from whence we are born again. Slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? And the depths of substitution that literally what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was to take our place. That which would have been ordained for us, the wrath of God was poured out on him rather than being poured out on us. And in the midst of all of that, he cried out to the Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" And when we first heard that, we didn't have a clue. Why was that even there? Why was he forsaken by the Father? We didn't understand that the Father could not look upon sin, so had to turn from our sin that was being heaped upon his own Son. And we began to have, didn't you at one point begin to learn these things, and you had a deeper appreciation each time you love him more? You love him more, and it's deeper, it's wider, there's growth, and it goes even deeper than that. Because Paul then teaches us, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And we begin to see in the Word of God that what began with us accepting a sacrifice of God's Son on a cross now carries us all the way to the point of us beginning to understand that we must crucify the self-life. That if we're going to go deeper with the Lord, we have to deny self. We want to walk with God. There is a crucifixion that takes place daily within us as we deny self in order to walk with the Lord. We are crucified with Christ. In doing that, he is able to express his own life in and through us. And it just continues. It continues from babyhood, from infanthood, and a simple cross. It's always the simple truth of his substitution, but it gets deeper and broader and reveals more and more revelation of the love of God to us. Let me just give you another example. We all encounter storms in life, don't we? We all encounter storms in life, and we see that Jesus, in the Word of God, he's a miracle worker. And we find that he is a deliverer. Amen? Amen. He delivers us. And so we find that when we're young in the faith and we encounter a storm, we're like, there's two scenes in a boat that I want to use for a moment. In the first episode, we find that Jesus is in the boat and he's asleep. And the disciples are, they're fighting against a storm and the waves are pounding against the boat and they are terrified. They're filled with fear and they wake Jesus up and say, "Don't you even care? Save us, Master." And the Lord just speaks to the storm and says, "Peace, be still." And suddenly it's calm and the ocean's calm and they stand amazed before the power of the Son of God. How many of us, that is our pattern? Every time we encounter a storm, we begin to panic and we begin to cry out, "Lord, don't you care? Deliver me. Deliver me." When we're young in the faith, when we're babies in the faith, many times God will just deliver us from it. We find that God just comes and he answers prayer and he takes it away and we're just astounded. Wow, he really answers prayer. But then as we walk with the Lord and we're growing over time, if we're serious in our walk with the Lord, we begin to find that God doesn't always work that way in our life. He doesn't always give us that parking place we prayed for when we first got saved. He begins to deal with us on a deeper level. And so there's a second boat, a second episode, and the disciples are in the boat and the storm is pounding. And they look, and here comes Jesus walking on the waves. And this time, there's not an immediate cry for help. This time, Peter says, it's like he's forgotten there's a storm. He's now amazed at the Son of God in the midst of the storm. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And the Lord takes the storm, the thing that is threatening to kill them, and he makes it a sidewalk. He makes those waves a sidewalk to him. And Peter steps out of the boat. He begins in faith to walk towards the Lord. As long as he keeps his eyes on Christ, He's fine until he takes his eyes off and he begins to sink. And in this storm, now the Lord is teaching. In this storm, Peter is able to move from panic for once and to begin to see a greater revelation of who Jesus is and to participate in it. And to come out of that storm with something a lot greater than just, oh, the Lord delivered me from that storm. No, the Lord taught me how to walk on waves. He taught me how to walk through that storm. It's amazing. There are these deeper truths in the Word of God. And so we find that that's the way it is in our life. We're babies, but as we grow in the Lord, He's going to take us, deal with us in a different way in order to bring us to maturity. So today we see a progression. We see a progression. When we got saved, it wasn't just so that we could get saved and grow stale. Real quickly, let me give you two men, Moses and Paul. Now, in both of these men, they had an experience that is not usually our experience. They had, at the beginning of their walk with the Lord, they had a profound supernatural encounter that was blazing and miraculous. They were already believers. Now, when I say believers, Paul was not yet born again in the New Testament sense, but he was a Jewish believer in Yahweh. He was already prepared. He knew that the Word of God was the Word of God. And so, likewise, Moses, we're not given many details, but if you really read through the story of Moses, he had already been taught somewhat who he was, why he was in Pharaoh's household, and you know, when he left Egypt, it was because the New Testament says he chose to identify with the people of God in suffering. But at the beginning of his growing in the Lord, God appears to him in a blazing fire in a burning bush. He has this encounter with God. Beloved, that does not mean that he was instantly mature in the New Testament sense. Moses was a man filled with anger, and he would blow up in a heartbeat. And Moses was a man that, even though he had that encounter at the very beginning, he still, and this is amazing to me, and I think it's something we should all take heart in if you're serving the Lord, is that you don't have to be a mature Christian for God to use you. It's amazing. Now, sometimes we want to put that as a parameter, but God is God, and He can do what He wants to do. Amen. There are missionaries that go into foreign countries, and they go to a tribe, and they win a few people to the Lord, and they disciple for a few weeks, maybe, one man that has a heart for it, and then leaves the church, that little growing newborn church, in charge of that one man to be taught by the Bible and the Holy Spirit to pastor that new work. And they make mistakes, and it's not always perfect, but God is sovereign, and He's able to do it. And Moses had to grow. He's leading millions of people out of Egypt, but we find him still learning all the way through the wilderness. He's learning the ways of God. Learning the ways of God. He saw God on the mountaintop in a burning bush, and then in the wilderness, he saw and met with God in thunder and lightning and earthquake and fire on the top of Mount Sinai. And then later, he is meeting with God in his own tent of meeting outside of the camp. He progresses in his ability to meet with God and his understanding of the depth of God and growing in the things of God. Likewise, the Apostle Paul. On the road to Damascus, Christ appears in a blinding light, and he is immediately crying out, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He's just becomes a new believer almost immediately. And the salvation comes to him, and then he spends in the different studies on this, different scholars disagree about the number of years, but he spends some 14 years in the Arabian desert being taught by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, studying the Old Testament to find Christ in the Old Testament, to be able to come out of the desert and preach to the Gentiles. And even then he went to the other apostles and said, am I off base? Is this right? Before he went out to do the work of the apostle. Now today doctrine has a bad rap. When the Spirit-filled movement began some years ago in the churches, you know, we always run to extremes. And one of the things that I'm going to be showing you as we go through this is that the balance. Balance does not mean that you don't walk in power with the Lord. It doesn't mean that anything has to be dampened down. But balance keeps us from falling in the ditch on one side or the other. Any truth in the Word of God, you can go so far with it that you run it in the ground and it becomes error. And so, doctrine to many churches is considered dead and dry. Dead and dry instruction and teaching. Whereas Holy Spirit comes and it's exciting. But Jesus said that those who are His will know His doctrine. And it really simply means His teaching. Doctrine is the important truths and teaching that we find all the way through the Word of God. Because it is so devalued today, churches quit teaching doctrine. Bibles, new translations, have taken words that represent deep truths, and they, that's too hard to understand, so they just take those words out of the Bible, and it's terrible. And we're going to see that. A few years back, I taught a weekend course called Words We Dare Not Lose. It was the Apostles' Doctrine, Words We Dare Not Lose. I'm going to hit on some of that. Words like redemption, words like salvation, and many, many others that the begotten. How many Bibles have taken out begotten? He is the only begotten Son of God. Begotten is an important word, not to be devalued or left out. Jesus said that this doctrine is important. Today, again, it's devalued, and so many, many words are lost. And the New Testament, in the New Testament, Peter says that there are going to be those who come in the latter days, and they're going to be like rain clouds with no rain. Empty, swelling words that just puff people up, but there's no doctrine. There's no depth. There's no truth in them. Today is just an invitation to see the value of going deeper with the Lord, and that it is through, first of all, laying hold of the Word of God, hungering for the Word of God, laying hold of the Word of God, reading. Reading is coming into a bad reputation too, because we can see everything. If we can read little snippets on a phone, that's all we have the attention span for. But in order to grow in the Lord, you have to be able to digest portions of His Word. And for those who find it difficult to read, there are other avenues. I would never say don't read, but supplement it then with listening to audio messages, audio teachings, audio sermons, because there's so much that you can learn and be discipled in that way. But whatever it takes that you grow, the Bible says that we are to be a student of the Word of God, showing that we are a good workman, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That means that we don't chop it up, take things out of context, but we correctly understand how it all fits together as we grow in the things of God. Amen. Lay hold of the Word of God, read and listen, and make it the foundational part of your life. In the weeks ahead, we're going to look at a number of doctrinal truths, principles, some practical things for growing in the Word of God and in the Lord, and hopefully to make us all more thirsty, ever more thirsty to grow in the things of God. I'm going to close this morning by saying this. So often, even as Paul mentioned earlier in the service, so often I preach on the secret place. And I find more and more how important that concept is in the Word of God. And you've heard me say that in these last days, I think that that is given to us. I really believe, and I can't prove this, it's just what I believe that the Lord has shown me. I believe Psalm 91, it's not that it's, the whole Bible's important, but Psalm 91 has something powerful to say to us in the times of greatest trouble. And the time of greatest trouble is yet to come. So how much more important will Psalm 91 be? The truth of the secret place. But the secret place isn't immediate. It's like that first concept that I mentioned this morning. When you're born again, positionally, you're already there with the Lord. Well, in that aspect, when you're born again and you just turn your heart, you begin to pray to the Lord, you're in the secret place. Amen? It's not like you have to find some clue or some formula or some place to go to that it's something that's so difficult. It's simply being with the Lord. But that's not all there is to it. It's obvious as you study Psalm 91, there is a relationship that is so deep that we learn how to go deeper in what we call the secret place so that all other things begin to fade away and we find all of our supply and all of our source in God Himself in order that we might be prepared to walk with Him on the waves through the greatest storms that are yet to come. I believe we need that. I believe we all, me included, have a long way to go in this path in growing deeper and more mature and walking with the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer.